It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
8:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now is Glenn Clark. Now, Glenn, Jeremy and I were talking during the break, Free the Birds and then Free the Birds 2, which we both got fired over Free the Birds 2. Mine was for a day. Jeremy's was permanently. Now, we got into a little argument in the basement when we had a meeting one day. Mm-hmm. And Free the Birds 2 was supposed, the concept of it was supposed to be, we're going to walk out because they're going to screw up signing Matt Wieters, which was the first round draft pick that year. That's why, that's what the concept behind Free the Birds 2 was.
That.
Now,
I forgot that.
I said to them, I said, dude, they're signing Matt Wieters, so you can't do it over that. They're not signing. They're gonna mess this up like they mess everything up. He said, Scott Boras, yada, 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 yada. I said, dude, I'm telling you, I guarantee you to sign him. How do you know? I got a source. They're going to sign him. It'll be the 11th hour, but they'll sign him. Who told you that? I said, well, who tells you the Ravens schedule before it comes out? And he's looked at me and said, that's your source. This is mine. And a certain person told me, shut the F up. And we got into it. I was the one called upstairs. Ultimately fired. I said, man, you're doing it. And I told him, I looked next to the face and said, you're messing up. Don't do this. You're making a mistake. He fired me anyway. And I love him. I love him. But the next day, they called Michael Popovich and gave him my job. And I hated for him, but he replaced me all for one day. Four sponsors left. And he's a full big. Four sponsors left. And he called me up. We got to sit down and talk. Let's talk. You know, this is stupid. Okay. All right. We sat down and talked. And I told him that day, Glenn and Jeremy, I said, yeah, I'm going to come back. And then let me say this. Anita Marks had me an interview with Bob Phillips that Monday. And I'm like a bird in the hand. I don't know. There's no show openings. Show openings over there. There was still 1,300 at the time. There's no show openings. Let me go back. And I told Nestor, I said, Nestor, I'm going to come back, but I'm going to leave again on my terms. And I told him that. I said, I'll leave again on my terms. And he said, well, we're not going to make people do Free the Birds 2. Do what you want. I just don't understand why you have a problem with it. And I told him, and you can call this prophetic and all you want. I had no clue. I said, Nestor, I don't know who I'll be working for in 5 years. Why am I going to make enemies? That was 2007. Fast forward 4 years later, 2011, I started working for Masson.
So there's a couple things in there, Rob, right? There really are. And it's funny because it's the question that Jeremy asked before the break, which is, you know, why haven't we made the documentary? Why haven't we made the 30 for 30? Because you'd have to somehow separate the Napoleonic person that was running the place from what was actually going on there.
Yeah.
And it's almost that human had no ability to get out of his own way and understand, like, I have stumbled in to this most incredible thing, but he was so sociopathic and so desirous of it being about himself that he wasn't capable. Dude, I swear to God, the number of douche chills that I get when I think about moments like, we were at the Combine 1 year, Paul Allen, the host from Minnesota, the Vikings play-by-play guy. That guy, he's broadcasting next to us, right? And at the end of my show, he says to me, hey, man, I just wanted to let you know, I really enjoyed your show, right? Which there's no reason. He's just the nicest guy in the world. If anybody's never met Paul Allen, he's just the nicest guy. That D-bag turns around and says, well, if you think he's good, you should have heard me.
Oh, that's...
Which is just the most, like, what? What brain synapse is going on? I got to tell you, too, I also once got fired because I told him I wouldn't put on... He told me that a good guest would be the dude that yells loud at Washington Capitals games. This is a straight sheet. He said, you should have him on as a guest. And I said, why? Like, what reason would there be for me to do that? And he lost it, said, because I said you're going to put him on.
So, Glenn, I know you'll know this because you were out at the Super Bowl in Arizona, right? The Patriots-Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the time that Nestor approached me on the floor there and came up and he's tried to talk to me. I said, I don't want to talk to you. Get out of my face. Like right on Radio Row. And he's like, dude, what's your problem? Like, I've gotten fired from people before and I'm still friends with them. And I looked at him and I said, I don't want to be friends with you. I don't like you. I don't have to respect you. And if you approach me again, I'm going to drop you in front of all your peers. I have nothing to lose. I grew up white trash. I worked with you for a short period of time. I'm still not making money in radio back then, you know? So I'm like, I've got nothing to lose, so walk away. Drew comes up to me later. Drew Forrester comes up to me, run into you guys at like a Mexican restaurant. He goes, what did you say to Nestor? I was like, I just told him how it was. Like, get out of my face or this is going to happen. He goes, he's all befuddled about it. He doesn't know why you feel that way. Well, you fired me at one of the worst points of my life. And oh, by the way, when I got fired, it was a Tuesday morning because we had to replay those Monday night BS shows where he talked about himself with the Ravens player the entire time. So I'm upstairs working for free doing that while he's firing Terry Ford. And then he asked me to come downstairs, and then I got fired after running their show. He had me wait to run the show because they didn't have anybody to do it, and then fired me.
Drew and I were joking yesterday about how this is. When he fired us, he said something like, if you ever need a recommendation, and I said, guy, I'm never going to have someone call you. Like, that day will never happen. There will never, under any circumstances, be a situation where that's, like, you are the worst part about this. Like, they can call Rob, they can call whoever they want. It will never, ever be you. I don't know how you've gone through 100 people that have all, how does there never a thought of, like, maybe there's a common denominator here.
But you know what? At the end of the day, because we're coming up on a break, at the end of the day, you know what it is for me about? It's about you. It's about Jeremy. It's about Ray Bachman. Casey Willett. Yeah. It's about the listeners, Verge and Mark that I met. You know what I mean? It's about all of those people who have become your extended family. You know what I mean? In the midst of all of that chaos, the great things that happen coming from that. Ken Zales is family to me. You know, yep. Spencer Folau. You know, all these people that I never knew before, and it was birthed out of that. I said so. At the end of the day, for me, he is who he is, and I don't care. But it's always for me going to be. It was probably one of the greatest periods. Well, no, it's not probably. It's one of the greatest periods, greatest 5-year spans of my life because of what was birthed out of it.
You know,
you're talking about 20 years ago, and to this day, Jeremy's my brother. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago. Ray Bachman. You know,
Kids were in the basement while we're doing a radio show.
Doing Saturday morning radio, radio show. If I'm in trouble at 2 in the morning and I call Ray Bachman, the only question he's asking me is, where are you?
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? That? So that's what was born out of that. Chris Verge, one of the biggest contributors to my basketball
program
there is around.
It's so
funny
his name's 40-year-old Verge and he's called Verge.
He's called Verge. You know what I mean? So to me, you know, that trumps everything that he was. That trumps it all.
There's no question about it. Aaron in Westminster, Aaron Manfred, who's Fred Manfred's nephew.
Right.
He came out to my pig roast, in fact. And we were talking. He said it was like it was a family. It was a dysfunctional family.
It was.
But it was a family. You didn't have to work there. You didn't have to, like, you felt like you were a part of it.
Yeah, you're right.
And it obviously laid the foundation for 105.7 The Fan and appreciate. A lot of places, somebody like Chuck would say, you're not going to come on there and talk about another radio station. But it laid the foundation for what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm appreciative and I'm grateful for that. I am just sad for everyone that loved that place, loved being a part of it, loved listening, that it just died so unceremoniously. It was just over. And that's the sadness that I have. I have a sadness that there was nothing that any of us could do that would keep it going and continue to allow it to be as special as it.
So quickly, I was on the air when, I was on doing Bob Haney show, producing it when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to stay, I was staying late filling in for Ray. Something happened there. And I remember putting we had the post-it notes. We'd flip over a post-it and you'd have the sticky side and you would write on that so you could put them on the window and then peel them off.
Yeah.
And then I wrote what was on the headline there. It says chaos and mayhem in New York. And I'm trying to tell Bob what's going on, because not like today where we can talk in each other's ear. Right. We didn't have that because it was a rinky-dink radio station with wires that would come apart, and if the wind blew, the station would go off the air. So I write that on the board. Bob's like, chaos and mayhem. What is it? Are they wrestlers? And then I had to go on the air and explain what's happening. But again, when people talk about where they were when JFK was shot and all these things, I was doing radio and watching that live. And it was such a weird thing that I'll just never forget the reaction from Bob.
Hey, Glenn, we got to go, man. Thanks a lot, buddy. Always, when are you back on the Fan?
We are on Sunday, 12 to 2. Oh, you know what? Arthur Millette is joining us in the studio on Sunday to make a very special announcement. So I hope you all will tune in for that. Reed and I with you, 12 to 2 this Sunday.
We definitely will. Hey, thanks a lot, Glenn. Appreciate you, man.
Love you guys.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I don't know if he's a better flag football player than Patrick Mahomes, but I know he's better than Jeremy Kahn. We'll talk about him at 8:45. But on the other side, it's Ravens with Melissa Kim.
Okay.
Up next on the Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, you're a sellout.
Okay.
You're a straight sellout. Mm. You're playing this crap for her? What, she threatening you?
No, Melissa deserves her own theme music.
She's 4 foot nothing. Well, 100 nothing. You scared of her?
I'm going to be working with her on during Ravens games this year, so I got to keep a good relationship.
Joining us right now, Melissa Kim. What's up, Melissa?
Ben is such a smart man. Like, you guys, seriously, what a brilliant, brilliant human being. I did no threats. I would never. And just because I'm small doesn't mean I'm not scary. Just FYI.
Hey, Melissa, were you a big Clueless fan, the movie?
That was a little before my time, I want to say.
Oh, Melissa, that's not how he worded that question to me.
What?
He asked me, do you think Melissa's clueless?
No, that's not what
he said to me.
No, the only reason I'm asking is, like, I listen to people's voices, and her cadence reminds me of some of the girls in that.
I never saw that.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing, though. So, I was born and raised in L.A., obviously, and I moved to Baltimore in the middle of high school, but my mother was raised in the Valley. So, I was at my grandma's house a lot when I was growing up. Maybe that's what it is. Okay. I don't know. People from LA, I know, have a certain manner of speaking. So sometimes
your mother's a Valley girl.
For some reason, it especially comes out with you guys. I don't know why.
We probably just pointed out too much.
Melissa's mother is a Valley girl. Okay. I did not know that.
She's from the Valley. Yes.
Joint practice yesterday against the Packers. Rashad Bateman had a really good practice. Is this a sign of things to come, in your opinion?
Oh, I certainly think so, and I certainly hope so. I think a lot of people hope so. I think we've been waiting for the emergence of Rashad Bateman for a little while now, and, you know, he's battled some injuries throughout his career, his professional career. But I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day. You go back and you watch film of Minnesota, where he played, Minnesota Rashad Bateman, and you're like, wow, okay. So you definitely see what he's capable of, and he's talked endlessly about how he is healthy this season, and how he is you know, he and Lamar have worked on that connection so much. He's done some off-season workouts with Lamar throughout the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're all hoping and wanting Rashad Bateman to show those strokes of brilliance that we've seen before.
How concerned are you over the offensive line with some of the reports we've
seen? I knew this question was going to come up. I am cautiously optimistic about the offensive line situation because we've seen some great moments. Roger Rosengarten in particular had some great moments yesterday. He went up against Rashawn Gary, and as a rookie, you don't see a lot of guys beating Rashawn Gary. So Green Bay, by the way, just as a disclaimer, Green Bay was my old mark. The Packers were my old team. They're the team that I covered for 4 years before I came back to Baltimore. And so I was following a lot of what the folks that I know out there were saying, and they were impressed with Roger Rosengarten for sure. So that's what I'm looking at. And, you know, I've liked what I've seen from him in the past as well. The other guys, Voorhees, Fa'alele, you know, I think that they are on the right track for sure. But I'm certainly very cautiously optimistic because I think they have some pieces of the puzzle together for sure. But I think that they're trying to figure out how to best put the puzzle all together.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're joined by Melissa Kim. Melissa, we're looking at this season. This is it. The preseason is over. Thank God. As we get ready for the opener, do you feel this team still needs some tweaking before they get ready for the Kansas City Chiefs? Or are you looking at this team pretty much a finished product?
I think there's some minor things that could be tweaked here and there. But for the most part, I think they have like the solid foundation of what this team is going to be, because you do see that, yes, they did lose quite a bit from last season, but they've done a pretty good job of bringing some of the guys back and bringing, you know, some of the guys that had injuries last year. We've seen quite a bit of them this season too. So I think that the foundation, like the house is like the foundation of the house is there. It's been built and all that. But I think just maybe some decorations here and there, could be.
How are you feeling about week one? I've gone back and forth on this game where, you know, I like the Ravens to go in there and try to showcase themselves, and maybe we see a little bit more Derrick Henry in game one than we do in future games. I don't know, but I keep flip-flopping on this game, and I don't know how to feel about it.
I know. It's tough, right? Because you think about it, the Ravens obviously are going, whether they're saying it or not, it's human nature to remember the last time they played these guys, and unfortunately for the Ravens, it was being ousted, you know, in the AFC Championship game last year in Baltimore. And so the thing about this team, though, especially this defense, is that Roquan Smith is the one that kind of is the leader of this mentality, but they do relish, as he says, going to somebody else's house, embarrassing them in front of their wives and kids and leaving, you know what I mean, calling it a day. So, Roquan's still there. There is no doubt in my mind that that is going to be a part of his hype speech before the game. And so, I mean, I think the Ravens have a very, very good shot of going in there and, like Roquan said, embarrassing them.
Yeah, there she is, Melissa Kim. Melissa, what do you got this weekend going? You on radio? What are you doing?
I'm kind of just chilling. Is that allowed? am I allowed to do that? No, I've been working in D.C. all week and all that stuff. But, yeah, I will be obviously keeping a very close eye on the game tomorrow, hoping that Lamar does not ride any more bicycles. I don't know if you guys saw that video. Apparently,
yes.
That's not his forte, but that's okay. We can't all be perfect, you know? So I will be keeping a very close eye on that game on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow. Melissa, yep. You have your you have yourself a good
Melissa,
weekend.
I hope you have an okay day, okay?
You know, a lot of people have been coming up and saying that. Oh, wait, time out. So there's a gentleman that I guess called after I was on last week who was like, I'm going to go and buy Melissa and all her
Rashawn.
Friends in Atlanta. Like,
Rashawn.
Yeah, Rashawn, yeah. I actually met him at Pickles last week.
Melissa, stay away from him.
Yeah, he sent me a picture of you two.
Oh, really? So I was like, oh, shout out Rashawn. Like, thanks for buying me a beer. That was very nice of him.
Mm. You didn't know his name, though. You said you called him a gentleman.
No, well, I said Rashawn.
Then she didn't know him.
Instagram friends. Yeah. I know who he is. Oh, my God.
If you called him a gentleman, you don't.
Oh, my God. I call everybody a gentleman.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Melissa.
Bye.
We're going to have so much fun this season. So much fun. I love the fact that I was going to drop the okay and she said it at the same time. Okay. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. We're going to talk about a young man that will make Jeremy Kahn's flag football game look remedial. We're going to do that at 8:45. But on the other side, Jeremy, you got a shovel to give other than me for saying that?
Yeah, internet tough guys, man. I'm going to call one out. I'm not going to use his name. I'll tell you a little bit about him. Went back and forth with somebody. You don't get to call somebody out and then try to play the victim because then your ass
they do that all the time.
Shovel.
They do that
every
all the time.
Every time, yep.
You got to realize something, man. We talk for a living. Shovel's up next on the Fan. Time to give out a shovel. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
My shovel goes to the Fit Coach. So, where to start with this? First off, Glenn Clark put out a tweet saying, tagging me in it, talking about coming on the show, right? Mm-hmm. So, retweeting it and talking it. What some people don't realize is when you're tagged in a Twitter feed or in a post and someone responds to it, I see that as well. Like, it comes to me on my timeline here, or on my, when you're looking at how you've been added, all the responses. So some guy, Glenn's talking about coming on our show to talk about WNST, and Fit Coach has to go, hey, tell Jeremy that my buddy takes all of his picks and takes the opposite, and he's been making bank. Okay. So then I write to him and say, look, we all know that's BS. Those are lies. So why are you posting that? And I told him, I said, you're an a-hole. And, called the guy out. Then he starts responding back to me. So I respond back again. Again, you responded to a post that had nothing to do with this.
At all.
So why are you bringing me up and talking trash about me? I don't care about people talking trash. The fact of the matter is he's just lying. So I said, go ahead, show me the tickets. If you bet him, you got tickets to show that you faded my plays and you won. And people are like, why are you so in your feelings about your picks? Well, I've started my own service now. I charge for picks. I do. It's, and Rob, you can talk about this. I don't need to get into the weeds about radio.
Right.
It's nice to have, I don't want to say leverage, but when your contract comes up, this is a cold business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bad things. We just went over some things that happened mm-hmm. to us. So I like having.
I learned.
I'm not charging people an arm and a leg. I'm not doing all this other stuff. I have a business. It's like this guy went to my restaurant on Yelp and he never came to eat and he just trashed my place. So for people to understand that, yes, I'm going to get defensive because don't come on here and lie about me. But what happened to old Fit Coach? And I hope you email the station running your mouth about stuff because I'm going to tell, if anybody at the station comes to me and says, you can't respond, I'm going to tell you guys to shut the hell up. I'm sorry. That's my Twitter feed. And that's my reaction to someone that's talking trash about my business.
Your business.
So when it comes down to it, he starts playing the victim. Oh, I got in your feelings. I'm so sorry. You're coming at me. Hashtag bully. Dude, you would have never heard from me ever, had you not responded to a tweet about
bully.
Me. Yeah. He goes, you must have researched this and looked it up because I never tagged you. Idiot. I'll go back to it again. If you respond to something I'm tagged in, it shows up.
What kind of punk ass move is that? I said it, but I didn't say it to you. That's basically what he said.
You can go.
I said it, but I didn't say it to you. That was his defense.
Yeah.
And then, that's your defense?
And then I became the bully for defending myself. And then I know other people are going to chime in. It's like, you're real sensitive about that stuff.
Look, you should
man,
be.
It's look, I put a lot of work into this, and I know you're not going to win every play. You're not going to do it. You're going to have losing streaks, all kinds of things that happen. I've experienced everything in gambling from the ups and downs and side to side, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I don't like when people just flat out lie. Like, I'm okay getting trashed when I'm wrong. Like, I'm still going to be defensive about it at times. But that's like... The thing that bothers
you
me
you can't
most,
play basketball?
Man, shut up, bro. We ain't getting into this. Like, we're going to talk about my flag football career next. No, but the bottom line is, and you know what I'm saying, too. Like, trash me when I deserve it.
We ain't going to get into this.
Yeah.
Hey, you sum it up with this. In the words of Erykah Badu, I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my... I can't say that last word, but now you're sensitive about it.
Well, you could say that, but I'm also... I don't want people lying about things that aren't true. And if you were trying to be clever or funny, you weren't. You're just an asshat, Coach.
I love his defense. I didn't tag you.
Yeah.
I said it, but I didn't say it to you.
And that's I became defense. The bully for responding to something someone said about me that was lies.
My shovel.
Fit Coach, jackass.
Okay, if my mother and your mother are sisters, what does that make us?
My mother and your mother, cousins.
Cousins?
Yeah.
Spell that.
C-O-U-S-I-N.
So why do people say cousin? Where does the T come from? You get a what? Did that hit you hard? Did that hit home with you? Did that hit home with you, Jeremy?
No, I don't say cousin. You should know, but like, you, I've heard
it's
it.
A thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
my cousin. Your cousin
is it a
Baltimore? Is it? Are you saying it's not your cousin?
Is it a Baltimore thing or is that everywhere?
Oh, it's a certain part of Baltimore thing.
Because, like, you know, there's the
cousin.
I
hear it ad nauseum.
We have the people here that say library instead of library.
Library, like, Westminster.
I joke about Valentine's Day until somebody goes, "It's Valentine's," and yes, of course, I know that. But that's what people say.
I hear it. My cousin. Who? What part of the family is that?
Cousin.
I'm not going to get into the aunt and aunt thing because it's spelled with an A-U. That's fine. And before you Google it and say, well, Google says, that's because Google is written by the white dude who says aunt. That's why Google says it's okay to pronounce it as aunt. It ain't aunt.
Is there a black Google somewhere?
It ain't aunt. It's aunt. A-U. But I don't get into that. It's not cousin. I don't care where you're from, how you spell it. There's no T at the end of it. It's a cousin. I hear it all the time. Like, it's like it makes me blink when I hear it.
Wait, are you friends with Marlon Humphreys? Marlon Humphreys. You know, the guy with the S at the end of his name.
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, how are you, man?
All right, I'm going to give a preemptive shovel to the MTA. Mm. You know, whenever we get good crowds at Camden Yards, they always have these short trains, the short light rail trains, and you'd be packed in there like sardines, all in people's nether regions.
Hey, Mike, attention to MTA. All the crowds are good now.
Yeah.
Get longer. Get more trains, man. Get more cars, man.
Get more long trains, yeah.
All the crowds are good now. The bad crowds are 22,000 now. That's exactly. A bad crowd now.
Exactly.
Hey, man, have a good weekend.
You too, bro.
All right, let's go to Timonium and get Bob. What's up, Bob?
How y'all doing this morning?
I can't call it.
Hey, I don't really have a shovel for Jeremy Kahn. I got a shovel for whoever the hell he's buying his edibles from here lately. They're not working, Rob. He has a problem with them. They're not working. He's taking over for Angry Joe, for crying out loud.
I didn't take the happy pills.
I was going to have Nestor come down there and kick his ass. He was taken out, right?
Huh? Is he going to bring all nine of his fingers?
Hey, we should get a thing together for him and Les for a little boxing match for charity for autism or something. And we'll let, is it Eric Bedard that you like? Is he the one we can have refereed?
I'll fight both of them in a handicap match for charity. I don't want any money. I'll do it. And if they beat my ass, I'll tip my cap to them and then try to plan round two.
You guys have a good weekend.
You
right?
too, man. You too.
Bob coming in.
That's to come down there and whip his ass.
Bob's over here smoking the fire. Let's get that fire going.
Kenny in Charlotte, man. What you got for us, Kenny?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
Oh, man. So, right now the Orioles are starting to feel like a slow death right now. After last night, I mean, I just kind of had like not an epiphany, but for lack of a better word, I'm just kind of reflecting on this season with Bradish being out, with Means being out, with Eflin being on the IL, with the offense being its utmost painful offense to watch, with Mountcastle as cold as he is, Adley not to single them out, it's the entire offense. I mean, they're hitting 167 over their last six games, averaging about 3 runs per game, and with a guy that was coming into this game with an ERA of 5.20, retired 18 of 22 Baltimore hitters, and he only allowed 3 hits. It is starting to truly feel like a slow death this season. Now, what I will say is that despite all these struggles, it is important that teams go through these low points in the regular season than in the postseason, obviously, because that's what we saw last year, because they murdered all last year, and then it kind of seemed like they were gripping the bat too tight in the postseason. Only thing is, it's September, and it's the worst time for this right now where you're meeting a lot of divisional matchups.
It ain't September yet, Kenny. It's not September yet.
Sorry.
We got another week. Yeah, we got another week.
I'm sweating here, yeah. We got another week. We're approaching September here, and this is the worst time. Like, it's kind of do-or-die time to make it out of here, and they have to make it out. But, hey.
I'll let you roll, because at the end of the call, you know what I'm going to say, Jeremy?
What?
What he said. Yeah. it's everything except September. What Kenny and Charlotte said. Mm. Mm. You know, it's one of those things where when the game is over, you kind of look to your left and your right like, is anybody else watching this? This is not looking good. And I like what he said at the beginning. His whole speech, he never pointed a finger at anybody. He said, with this person getting hurt and that person getting hurt, that's about one of the best calls we had about the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, he brought up two examples, but he even said after that, I'm just
exactly.
trying to tell you what
that,
I'm
that's one. That was a great call, because those are the facts. But on those injuries now are starting to pile up. For those of you to say next man up, this is why it's not applicable. Because that next man is a guy who's playing behind a man that he took over for a reason.
I'm waiting for you to stop bumping your gum so we can get to this important segment next so I can break down some flag football.
Ross Tucker joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Jeremy Kahn is going to find the guy who is better at flag football than him. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
Ain't one?
No,
now everyone is.
On the Fan.
That's right, Rob. Us flag football players standing on business. That's what's happening. I don't know if everybody's heard this, and right. I want to talk honestly about what I've seen, because I've played against NFL players in flag football, and this cat, it's just funny, because I think he deserves a little bit more credit, but his name's Daryl Doucette. Here's what he had to say about comparing himself to Patrick Mahomes.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Okay. I don't think accuracy is an intangible, though.
Well,
I think it's very tangible. But anyway, go ahead.
That guy, Doucette, is an amazing flag football player. I started watching some of his highlights.
I saw some of it.
The thing that I don't like is they're showing the one highlight with the awkward throwing motion. The thing that he does is, first off, it's hard to pull his flags because he's so athletic, and he does the new thing. If you're watching some of the highlights where you're dipping down to the ground, getting low so they can't pull your flags. Like when I started to gain more weight and I became the chubby flag football player, I told you, I would turn my belly to people because now you got to reach on my side and I'd be running backwards down the flag. I know it sounds stupid, but if you watch the one touchdown run he had where he dipped and he turned, he started running backwards and nobody called him. It's just weird to hear people say, like, flag football, there's a reason why somebody that looks like me can excel at that sport, right? When you start taking special athletes and you put them in that sport, you see the difference totally. I have no problem with him thinking he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I do have a problem with him saying it.
See, the problem is he said the knowledge of the game. Like, flag football and 11-on-11 football are two different. What game is he talking about?
So
if he said he's better, more knowledgeable of the game of flag football than Pat Mahomes probably said, yeah, because I never played flag football. So I think those are two different games. Quarterback in regular football, quarterback in flag football, completely different. Fewer people on the field, no offensive line, not more than one person rushing you. The game is so different.
I think when you start talking about some of the skill position players, that guys like some of the wide receivers, there are guys that couldn't play tackle football. They couldn't run in the pads. They couldn't adjust to it. You know, they didn't like it. They felt slower, whatever. There are guys that can't run routes that are unbelievably athletic that can showcase themselves. I just want to point out a couple things, because there was a few D1 college football players that came and played in one of my flag football leagues. Uh-huh. Steve Suter did it. He came up and played, a season. He had the most amazing 2-yard catch I've ever seen in my effing life.
Really?
He made everybody on my team, including me twice, miss his flags. But he only got 2 yards, but it was the most impressive thing I've seen. One of my friends, I became friends with the guy in the league, and I hope somebody gives him a shout-out and tell him I brought him up, Jason Goody, Woodlawn High School. He went to the University of Maryland, was a tight end there, and I believe, if I remember correctly, he had an opportunity with the Redskins at that time. He came and played in our flag football league, and this is a D1 player. As soon as he stepped on the field, he was the best player in our league, and there was no question about it. Like, people hear me talk about, I was a really, really good flag football player. I have, my hands are great. All right, so if I'm going to pat myself on the back, I'll go to any one of these.
You'll pat your hands on the back with some soft hands.
These hands are soft. I'm not even kidding. I don't play with gloves, with receiver gloves. I'd like to go get on one of those jugs machines, get some video and show off these things, but I'd need some gloves if we're going to hump that thing up to 100 miles an hour. But yeah, I like there are guys that are extremely talented, and if you're smart, you can excel. I'm not doubting he has flag football IQ because you can see from his movements, he's doing things that you would never do in the NFL.
Right.
And there's a big difference between guys that can shake tackles and make plays and guys that can, you know, make people miss grabbing their flag to make a play down the field. So, again, I don't have a problem with what he's saying. And this all stems off of saying if we get flag, when we get flag football in the Olympics, are NFL players just going to take the spots? And he kind of go, well, nobody's taking my spot. Well, if Pat Mahomes came down and wanted to play flag football, I don't think you're playing. You know, like there's a big we've had so many guys come out in these leagues. Like if Tyreek Hill is playing flag football, stop. Just stop it.
Yeah.
There's nobody that's stopping that. And the problem, too.
You think in 4 years he's still that level?
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, the hard part about this is when you're looking at flag football, depending on the type you're playing, whether it's full contact, nine-man, eight-man, seven-man, whatever, if you have down linemen, eligible linemen, what the pass rush is, some leagues you start 7 yards back and you can go right off the bat. Other leagues, there's someone counting for when you can rush. You might have a blitz. All these things. So, like, knowing the rules of the league and knowing what you can do can clearly help you. I don't know how many teams came in and played my team that were 1,000 times more athletic than us. And if you would have bet, you'd have say they were 40-point favorites over us, and then we smoked their asses by 40 or 50. Because there is a part to knowing the rules and taking advantage of them. But athleticism usually outshines that on a daily basis. So what I think he's saying is somewhat silly. If a guy like, you know, with all due respect, Jason Goody coming out and playing in our league, he's 6'3". He can jump out of the gym. Right. I'm looking at the guys on my team. He's like, there's nothing we can do if they throw the ball up to him. He's that good. And that's a guy, like I said, with all due respect, he didn't make the NFL. He was close. Maybe he should have got an opportunity. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you see the difference in talent when they step out there, man. It's not even close in what this guy's talking about. But I do think there are a lot of guys that I've played against that I thought could have played at certain levels going up and also had the type of skills that could translate to playing college or pro. But just size-wise, you know, some guys aren't going to make it.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy Kahn. 9:15, we'll take a current look at the American League playoff race. We had a listener call in a little while ago, says his fear is we're seeing this team start to crumble a little bit. We'll talk about that at 9:15. But on the other side, we're talking football, NFL style, what to expect for the 2024 season, at least what Ross Tucker expects as he joins us up next on The Fan.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.